for the record, VDOT's Commissioner Joe Guthrie. And Commissioner Guthrie, we want to talk about the Ag Census in a little bit. But first of all, understand you recently participated in the National Association for State Departments of Agriculture Winter Policy Conference. What was discussed at that conference?
Sure, Jeff, appreciate it. It's great to talk to you here today on President's Day, and I hope things are going well for you and everyone there in the Shenandoah Valley and around the Commonwealth as well. So, yes, I represent Virginia on the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, as well as the Southern Association of State Departments of Agriculture. That's an association comprised of my colleagues, the other commissioners and secretaries of agriculture from around the country. And our winter policy meeting is an opportunity for us to come and discuss issues and talk about policy and things that we are looking at, and mostly things that could be helpful to help us achieve our mission to bring about more economic development for agriculture around the U.S., to help agricultural producers and firms that are helping and supporting agriculture all across the country. And Jeff, as we had that meeting and came away from it, there were probably three things that really stood out for us that are either concerns or big issues that we are or need to be working on. One is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture indicating to us that they may not provide for us the budget for some of our cooperative agreements between USDA and the states to perform some necessary functions, such as inspections of, for example, meat processing plants that we've always shared or have shared in many recent years, a 50-50 split between those in cost, where we'll do the inspections and USDA pays for half the cost for the state and the U.S. inspection. So that's concerning if they're not going to be able to fulfill what they have been doing in terms of supporting that.
Should the consumer be concerned? Should the consumer be concerned about that? Because it is involving inspection and food safety.
Sure. I think it's premature for that yet, because I think more of an issue is what will be the burden that will be placed on states if it's not 50-50? Will we need to do more? And that might be more of a budget concern for us and around the states. And again, we're working on this with USDA and seeing if there's a better resolution that we can come to on it. But yes, it certainly is concerning that the federal government may not be fulfilling what they traditionally have been doing in terms of that. So yes, we're concerned about that. Another concern involves the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and its interpretation of Endangered Species Act and how that might impact production practices, particularly with the use of pesticides, production practices such as, buffer strips around fields. It could limit the amount of area that we're allowed to, apply pesticides to and effectively crop in the future. Again, these are matters of discussion now and some things that NASDA is working very hard on. But we are concerned that that could be limiting to the amount of cropland that we use. And the third issue also involves pesticides. As we were there, that was on February 4th through 7th, that was on the 6th, that a federal judge in Arizona vacated the label on the herbicide dicamba. And one of the things that NASDA did was immediately go to work to lobby EPA to allow stocks of existing dicamba in the hands of farmers or in distribution companies to allow those to be used. And a few days later, there was a ruling from EPA that those could be used. But once those supplies of dicamba are exhausted, there's no supply coming in behind them, and it might be some period of time, if ever, before we see a new label for dicamba. Producers very well might need to start looking for other alternatives in production. We're going to continue looking into that, and we certainly hope that EPA will appeal that ruling by that judge to give more clarity on what we can do with dicamba and its use in the future. It's an important component for a lot of crop production systems. And there are alternatives, and certainly producers may need to start looking into alternatives that if they've been using dicamba. We certainly encourage that. Legal alternatives, I'd say.
Let's talk now about the release of the Ag Census data that came out on Tuesday, February the 13th. And I believe the USDA, National Agricultural Statistics Service, I believe they gave you and your staff an executive briefing. What was your takeaway from that briefing?
Well, there are several takeaways, Jeff. Let's start with, I think it's some good news, bad news. Maybe I shouldn't start with bad news. Let's start with the bad news. One of the things we saw was a continuation of a drop-off both in farmland acreage and the number of farms in Virginia. Now, this is something that's been going on for decades, really. We've seen decline in farmland as our population has grown. That has encroached on farmland. And we've seen reductions in the number of farms as well. A lot of that caused by consolidation, as we see, you know, some farms getting larger, somewhat offset by, you know, smaller lifestyle type of farms being more numerous. What we saw in this census that I think is surprising, and I'd also say concerning, worrisome for us, is how much that drop-off was from 2017 through 2022 as compared to what it had been historically. I think kind of what we were expecting, a larger drop off in the number of acres farmed and a larger decline in the number of farms than I think we had expected to see. Certainly looking into that, what's causing that. Jeff, if you look at those numbers closely, I don't want to geek out too much on the numbers themselves, but the decline in the number of operations with beef cattle corresponded almost exactly to the total number of decline in farms overall. I don't want to draw, you know, too much of a conclusion on that. It certainly was others had declines, such as dairy farms, and we saw increases in some types of farms. But that was one that I came away with. On the good news side of it, Jeff, we've never seen such high farm income before. And we set new records for farm income. Also, farms are more valuable than they've ever been before. So in terms of farm sales, we've got the market value of farms, of all agricultural products from farms, hit almost $5.5 billion in 2022. That's up from less than $4 billion in 2017. Per farm, it's $140,000 per farm in 2022 compared to $91,000 in 2017. So some pretty remarkable increases in farm income, but some fairly significant drop-offs both in the number of farms and the farm acreage. One of the things we're looking at there, of course, a lot of that was during the previous administration, 17 through 21 and 2022 being the first year of the Youngkin administration. One thing we're doing and looking at, I know some folks are concerned about, and rightly so, this drop off in the amount of farmland. We've got a bill that the governor is supporting now that will combine the services of the VDACs, Farmland Preservation Office, with that of the Virginia Department of Forestry to form a new office of Virginia Working Lands Preservation that we hope and think really will help us to do greater and better efforts in doing working lands preservation for both agricultural and forest land. That's one thing we're working on. I know that's certainly something that a lot of folks have gotten out of this report, and it's certainly something that we're looking at as well.
It certainly is I'll call it an exhaustive report, over 900 pages on the Commonwealth of Virginia alone, and it's pure numbers. Of course, everybody wants to know why, how, you know, they want to know all the story behind the numbers, but that's going to take some time to filter out all of those stories. But one number that stuck out on me was cost of production. Through the average Virginia farm, according to the USDA Ag Census, the average cost of production per farm was $111,661 per year. That's basically how the common man would say, that's what it costs to keep the farm running. And you're looking at over $2,000 a week. And then I put the calculator to that number and compared that to the previous census from 2017, and the cost of production was up by 39%.
Right, right.
That just leapt off the page to me. How your cost of production, it's amazing that a lot of farmers stay in business, to me.
It certainly is, Jeff, and that's only through the efforts of hard work, of innovation, of new technologies that are helping farming to be more productive than ever, that's helping to make that possible. You're absolutely right. Those higher costs, we're very fortunate. And the cost numbers, by the way, for both 2017 and 2022 are more like snapshots. What did that year look like? The other numbers we were talking about, the change in farmland, are more like a motion picture showing how did that change over time. And certainly in 2022, we look back and we say, yes, we had very high output prices. We also had very high input prices, results of the war in Ukraine and shortages in supplies of both inputs like fertilizer and chemicals, but also big demand and short supplies for output, such as corn and soybeans. So really, really interesting data there. I'll compare something else, Jeff, if we go back and talk about, you know, what has this looked like over time, and you talk about all the pages in this. Let me just use one snippet of one of our largest crops, which is corn. If you go back, about a generation, 25 years or so, to 1997, and compare that to 2022, I won't get into the exact numbers, but we have about half as many corn farmers now as we did then, or half as many farms raising corn for grain as we did then. But they're farming more acres, actually just a little bit more acreage. So half the farmers farming as much or more land. But they're making twice as much corn as they were in 1997 on more or less the same amount of land. So what do we find there? Half as many producers farming the same amount of land and making twice as much of it. So each producer making four times as much corn as they were in 1997. And I think that's something that people would recognize, where we have consolidation in the industry, we have increases in production, we have results of higher productivity and efficiency, but all of that boils down to some other trends that we're seeing as well, like that consolidation very well means that we have, you know, fewer farmers, that has concerns in a number of ways. You know, as we look at it, we say, well, there are some crops that we're seeing as much of and some that we're not seeing as much of in Virginia. So just some big trends that we're seeing there, Jeff. But a big one is we as agricultural producers are producing more with less than we ever have before.
One other number from 900 pages of numbers that leapt out at me, at least. I looked at the number of young farmers in Virginia.
Yes.
And also at the gender. And one thing that leapt out at me was that 39% of all Virginia farmers are female.
Yes.
That surprised me.
I'm glad you point that out. I can't say that I'm surprised by that, because I have seen that as I traveled around the state, how many more female producers we have now than we ever had before. And I think it's a great thing, because we need, farmers of all ages, both genders, everyone in the industry. That certainly is something that is a change from the past. Jeff, you know, another statistic that I found interesting, you talk about beginning farmers. The average age of a beginning farmer is now 48 years old. I found that to be really interesting. That means that there's a fair number of people who are starting out in farming, not as a first career, but as a second career. What else does it tell us? It tells us that it's difficult for a young person to get into farming. And that's borne out by the statistics as well. Again, we were talking about some changes over the course of a decade, or even let's go back a little bit more, and let's go back to back in the 1990s, when the average value of a farm was about $335,000. Now it's right at $1 billion. Well, good news, bad news. There's if you're a farmer, your assets are worth more. Bad news is, if you're trying to get into farming, it's really expensive and difficult to do. So those are some of the hurdles and barriers that we're looking at for young and beginning farmers. Another thing that we're doing during this administration, Secretary Lohr in particular, is leading a series of farm finance workshops and other things to help young and beginning farmers get started in farming, because we know it's difficult, and it's getting more difficult all the time as our farm assets increase in value.
We're talking today with Commissioner Joe Guthrie. He is Commissioner of the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Just a couple of minutes remaining in this segment, Commissioner. Let's sum it up for our listeners who are not involved in agriculture. They're just ordinary people who, they see these headlines that Virginia lost 4,000 farms over the past 5 years, and they have an emotional reaction to that. Can you summarize the ag census for those listeners?
Absolutely. You know, I think it is very right to be concerned about a decline in the number of farms, because the number of people that we have on farms matters for our communities. What we're also seeing is that our farms are sometimes getting larger as they're getting consolidated, and in some cases we're seeing a fair number of small farms. What's really been declining for decades and we're most concerned about is the loss of that medium-sized farm. And the medium-sized farm is needing to become bigger if it's going to remain a source of full-time income for farmers. That requires more investment, higher costs, greater risk for farmers. And that's been an ongoing story for decades that continues today and is as concerning for us now as it ever has been, and why we're taking measures as best we can to try to be helpful to Virginia farmers, to help them to stay vibrant and keep agriculture Virginia's number one industry.
Thank you so much for taking some time to join us today. Thank you, Commissioner.
Jeff, we thank you for the opportunity. Have a good day.
Commissioner Joe Guthrie with Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. We'll be back right after these messages.